Hello and welcome to the Hooniverse podcast. This is not a bonus episode. This is the actual episode for this week. I'm your host, Jeff.
Holyfield.
Yes, yes. That is the luscious dulcet tones of my man, Ron. What's going on, Ron?
Wow, dulcet. Did you just put your thesaurus down?
Hey, come on now. Before I did the video shit, I was a writer. And I still have to write my scripts.
I will take it.
I didn't say I was a good writer, but I remember like three words. So
I did that.
What's been going on? You've been a busy man. We've both been busy for different reasons.
Yeah, like I said, 2 weeks ago. I think it's been 3 weeks since we recorded together. But 2 weeks ago, I was up north hosting a couple episodes, two or three episodes of Who Needs This First That. So we knocked that out, and then yeah,
I think we can talk about those now too, actually, because they're out.
Yeah, they're coming out. Mm-hmm. The first season that I recorded back in January, that's like those two seasons have already run through. This first right. Lad and first that, but yeah, the first episodes from the last couple weeks will begin airing this coming Monday, actually.
Okay, sweet. Yeah, because I remember we talked about you doing it. We didn't talk about what you saw, you know, just because you don't want to give this stuff away. But yeah, so if anybody out there has been watching This First That, you've obviously been seeing Ron popping up in the episode. So it's we've talked privately about some things which we don't need to talk about on the podcast as it relates to certain people on the show. But right. It seems like there's been some fun, I don't want to call them guests because, you know, but that's the mentality for this show. But sure. I mean, they almost are guests.
Yeah. I think that's fair.
Of the stuff that's aired, what's been your favorite vehicle?
I really love – so this is – I mean, I love the street racer mentality and sure. Like the straight-up hustle mentality. So the guys from On the Gas in Houston had that quote-unquote NBS or Cat Eye Silverado that was actually four-wheel drive. So it was a twin-turbo LS. It ran on methanol and or ethanol. I can never get that shit straight, but basically it didn't have a cooling system. Like it's straight up fucking street race truck.
Right.
And it retained the factory transfer case, which I thought was super cool. So he'd do a burnout and rear wheel drive and then hit the factory button for the factory transfer case and switch to four wheel drive for launch. And I thought that was super cool and kind of ingenious. There was another similar vehicle that was like a C10 that was all hacked up and made unibody. It was a bunch of dudes from Canada that drove like 51 hours down. Yep. They raced Damon from DDE. And
that was my favorite one.
His Aventador SVJ. And like, that was just like, that was the spirit of Hoonigan or the spirit of This First That, like that was it, like in full force. Like those guys were just so amped to be there and they knocked off this, you know, $1 million Lambo in a truck that they had less than like $10,000.
That truck was so good. And they seemed like super nice friend. I mean, Canadians, but they seemed like they lived up to the hype. And then the dude with the Silverado that you're mentioning, because he's been on before.
Right.
He does this as his work truck. and it was funny because in the last episode, that was
just. But it like, is.
Yeah. No, I know.
That's his job.
Yeah. But he was like all like iced out at the last one.
Blinky as fuck. Yeah. It was crazy. I was just like, bro. But they're YouTubers. Like, he's got a lot of flash. He's got a lot of trucks and they do like giveaways and stuff. And they have like show trucks as well as race trucks and stuff. So I enjoy their content. It's bilingual and it's like a total cross section of like Texas truck culture, which is very specific to South Texas.
Yeah. Where in Texas are they?
They're from Houston.
Okay. Okay. Well, shit. Yeah. That'd be fun to go see their shit. If I'm back out
there, buddy.
If I'm visiting my brother. God damn, I can picture them just ripping up and down those freeways. People in Houston drive like maniacs. Yeah. So that's fun. That's some good stuff. And I touched on it in the little bonus episode that came out the other day. The reason I wasn't around is because I was on vacation. And the reason I'm not around next week. Yeah, right. Sure. The reason I'm not around next week is because I'm on vacation.
I was listening to that, but it wasn't clear. Are you going to Hawaii twice in a month?
Yeah. this isn't how we originally planned it. We booked the second trip during COVID because the just like a deal we couldn't pass up. We're like, all right, when you can go to Hawaii, we have this trip waiting for us. And then my wife's national company meeting was normally in like January, February. It got pushed for various reasons. And so it got pushed to there's a week in between these two Hawaii trips. So we're like, well, I guess we're going to Hawaii twice. First trip was just my wife and I. Now we're back for the week. And on the next, we're going to Kauai and we're taking our daughter.
Cool.
Yeah. I mean, it seems
worst ridiculous. Places to be, man.
Yeah, no. It seems ridiculous, totally. But it's just how the shit stacked up. So,
yeah.
I'm actually nervous about it. But
just why? What do you mean?
I'm nervous about like. Well, I mean, I work for a company that it's one of those. I don't have a reason to be nervous. It's just.
You're going to act an ass in front of.
No, not that. It's just like it's two back-to-back Hawaii trips, and it's just like at what point do your bosses go like, "Hey, man, what's going on?" But the company I work for is one of those like, "Hey, we don't have vacation days. You take as much time as you need. Just get your job done," which is awesome, right. And I get my job done, so I'm not really nervous about it. But it's just the
optics. I always have that anxiety about vacation, no matter how far in advance it's planned, no matter who's cool with it. Like I'm always like when I'm out of the office, even when I'm like shooting this versus that, like I have an anxiety like, oh, I'm like not available because you don't really have internet access out there.
Yeah.
Just like I can't communicate and you just kind of wonder what you're missing out on or if anybody's judging you.
I used to get more stressed about it when I was just focusing on Hooniverse stuff because I would bring my computer with me. I would do some work while I was traveling, blah, blah, blah. And now these days I might bring my laptop, but I also might not. And I don't worry about it because I work for a big company. That's totally fine if I'm not there and I'm not missing anything. Cause I'm just there to make reviews and do some other stuff. Mm-hmm. And the stuff they need from me can wait, but we'll get videos out ahead of time. And so yeah, it's more anxiety about the optics of two Hawaii trips back to back. That's really totally what it is. Yeah, but whatever. I'm going. Bye, bitches. all right.
Speaking of which, that OBS truck, the four-wheel drive truck. Do you remember it had a bye bitch button?
Yeah. Yep.
I think it's the button. Must have been nitrous or meth injection, but bye, bitch.
Yeah, that's awesome. The truck is sick. If you haven't seen it, go to the Hoonigans YouTube channel. But we're going to dive into news because while I was gone, some big car news dropped because a Toyota officially rolled out the GR Corolla. It's here and it's even better than I thought it was going to be from a power standpoint. So I'll read off the stats real quick and then I'll let you dive into it. So under the hood, three cylinder.
Did me dive into it?
Well, I want your thoughts. I'm going to give the stats and then I want your thoughts. If for those of you who don't know, it's a three cylinder turbocharged engine, basically similar engine as the GR Yaris, but they made the exhaust more efficient and there's some other tricks going on. They just turned up the boost. So it's making 300 horsepower, 273 pound feet of torque, hooked up to a 6-speed manual and then GR4's rally-based all-wheel drive system, which in normal driving does a 60-40 front bias split. You can switch it to a 30-70 rear bias split. And then in full attack mode, it's a 50-50 split. And then the car just kind of looks pretty badass. What are your thoughts on the GR Corolla?
I am irritated that it took over my social media feed for a good 5 days.
Yes.
To be completely honest with you, like, I don't want to say I don't get it, but like I have a hard time getting super excited about a three-cylinder engine. I don't know what the hell that sounds like. You're talking about multiples of three. Like a straight six sounds beautiful, sonorous. Like a V6, not so much. Like I just don't know what to expect.
So
you know,
same idea. But it's less balanced. It's almost like. You know how Subarus are famous for
warbly.
Yeah, because they have the unequal length headers. This isn't the same thing, but it's the same idea where there's an inherent imbalance to the engine. And so the noise is like beautifully imbalanced, at least in other three cylinders I've experienced. I've always gotten a kick out of three cylinders because they sound different and they're fun. And there's
what's another three cylinder off the top of your head? I can't
The Fiesta.
Oh, really?
From a couple years back, they made a three-cylinder Fiesta that I was
that,
like
the, that wasn't the ST though.
No. It was like a base car, and it was one of the most fun ones to drive.
Interesting.
Yeah. It was okay. So yeah. But
well, I will knock it till I try it. But
yeah.
Yeah, I've got to admit, I don't understand the hype. Like, of all the cars to be introduced, like, I mean, people that I wouldn't expect, people that are into exotics and muscle cars, like, you know, a lot of our friends that are automotive journalists, everyone was all over this. And it seemed like it lasted like a week, and I was just over it. I was just like, until nobody's driven this thing, so you guys can't be that excited about it. But so, like, I appreciate affordable performance, so I don't want to knock it and sound like an old grouch. Sound like a boomer, but you know, it's not for me, but I'm glad that it's an entry point.
Get a job, Grinch.
Exactly.
I live in a fucking trash can. So people have driven the GR Yaris, and that has the same all-wheel drive system and a less powerful version of this engine, and every report of that one is that it's amazing. So I'm very excited about that. The other amazing number is that it's 100 horsepower per cylinder, which is fucking sick. I remember when 100 horsepower per liter was like, oh, this is crazy. And now this is 100 horsepower per cylinder. And then Rally Bred all-wheel drive system. It's just a full-on Toyota product. You know, looks like a good 6-speed is in there. But yeah, haven't driven it. But the ability to move the power bias around, and then you can also get it with a limited slip diff in the front and the rear. So, I mean, it seems like it's going to be an absolute monster of a hot hatch. And if they price it less than a Golf R, which I hope they do.
It has to be.
I hope so.
Way undercut that.
I hope so, because then it would, like, theoretically, it should kick its ass. And the new Golf R drives really well. It's just the interior, you know, the UX and all that shit is a mess. I also hope, and also Subaru's not bringing us a new STI for a while. So this kind of replaces that. And theoretically, hopefully this is cheaper than an STI would be, because those get pretty pricey. I mean, the problem is, no matter what the MSRP is, every dealer is going to be like, I'm going to need another 20 from you. I'm going to need another 15 from you.
That's outrageous. Yeah. Yeah. Like, I can't go for that.
I saw a picture. I saw a picture on Twitter today. Speaking of markup, somebody posted a GTI with a 12.5 markup. So they were asking 53 for not a Golf R, a fucking GTI.
That's outrageous.
Absolutely outrageous.
So let me ask you this about this Corolla. Is it engineered and like developed in partnership with anybody, or is this all Toyota?
It's GR, so it's basically developed with the Gazoo side of it, which are you know, real race team. So yeah, it's the engine development. It has its roots in motorsports. The all-wheel drive system has its roots in motorsports. Like, the engine has multi-jet oil cooling for the pistons. It has machined intake, and then it has oversized exhaust valves. And then you know how the Type R that has the kind of the goofy triple exhaust outlets?
Yeah.
Did you see the exhaust on this one?
I saw it. I don't really remember. I know it had three outlets.
It has three, but they're like, it's just cleaner, and it seems like it makes more sense. And it's going to be insane in the aftermarket, because now I'm wondering if someone's going to do like a header and exhaust outlet direct from each cylinder.
That'd be sick.
What would that sound like? It could be terrible, but it could also be amazing.
Yeah, without a crossover.
Yeah. Maybe.
So is this like a homologation special for like WRC or something, or is it just derived from racing, or it's motorsport
derived and inspired by it, but I do not believe it is any sort of homologation special, which is cool. So theoretically, they wouldn't have to limit. You know, they're like, oh, we're only making 2,000. So hopefully we start seeing these on the road soon. And I'm very much looking forward to driving it. And then now, speaking of the motorsport side of it, and the Corolla, this past weekend was the first opener for Formula Drift, Long Beach. They showed the car there. And then the car that won was technically the drift spec version of the GR Corolla. Probably wears some good wheels.
Yeah, he's a Rotiform sponsored athlete.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
like I thought it was weird when I saw his car in testing, and it had like basically the whole Rain-X livery was on display. That's his new sponsor, so the car's all yellow instead of red and gum out or whatever it's been in the past. But then the front was camouflaged and dazzled, and I was just like, what are we hiding here? What are you?
Oh, really?
I had no idea about the GR Corolla announcement. So it was like it was embargoed. You know, they didn't want to show the new front end until basically Toyota had announced it. So I think it was like Friday that they took the wraps off the front clip of the car, and then we could see it in all its glory.
That car is crazy. Cause so Ryan won the whole thing, which is pretty awesome. And the livery is kind of perfect for Rain-X. Like it's the yellow, you're like right away, if you're a car person, you're like, oh, that's Rain-X. You know, the color's sick.
Even for a colorblind mofo like me, like, you know, that's Rain-X. Like that's Rain-X yellow.
So I'm assuming it's Papadakis Racing, and I'm assuming it's the same engine as last year's Corolla, because obviously not running the three-cylinder turbo, or they're not running, you know, whatever. They're running – last year he ran a 2.7-liter turbo that made an absolutely fucking insane 1,000 horsepower. But that's the power ratings you need at FD. So I'm assuming it's the same engine for now. And then
I'm so impressed with Turk and what he does with that car and its short wheelbase. Like it seemed like theoretically that would be an advantage because you get more angle and you can go deeper with less worry about tearing stuff up or proximity, but it's really hard. Like that thing is super twitchy relative to like a Mustang or something with a longer wheelbase. So
yeah.
It's always impressive.
It's probably a double-edged sword. So like probably the short wheelbase guys love that their cars will go right away, you know?
Right.
Whereas like Chelsea Denofa in his Mustang is like, all right, I got to use this fucking ready to rock engine. I think they run like crazy Roush 8 shit in their cars.
Yeah.
Like basically NASCAR shit. So his car is going to swing a little longer, but then when he's there, you know, maybe it's easier to hold it on the edge and who knows? I mean, totally. It'd be interesting to get a drift. Well, when we get Tony on, we'd be like, hey, short wheelbase cars versus longer wheelbase cars. It's like, I'm just assuming there's pluses and minuses to both. But yeah, I'm with you. Like nobody's out there running a Miata, you know, because it'd be like, wee. Now,
wee!
Did you go to FD?
No, it was the same day as open house that I was in New Jersey for. So
okay.
I did manage to kind of insulate myself from social media and not have it ruined for me.
Okay.
And then like on the plane home, and then when I got home, I watched the round of 16.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It was good. It was a lot of fun. There were some serious battles. I think there were two One More Times and one battle. And then unfortunately, Frederick Osbo.
That field was pretty fucking
semifinal. Yeah. And I mean, you know, Freddie was a gentleman from the beginning. It was just like, I got greedy and I messed up. Like, you know, I ended his run, ended his day, unfortunately. And, you know, Matt got second out of the deal, but Turk had a bye in the final.
Yeah, he just got to do
great
a free
for
pass.
The crowd or anybody. But, you know, what's fair is fair. And Freddie was apologetic and admitted his mistake. And, you know, I think it just sucks that it cost the Fields team a lot of money and time and energy to rebuild that car. But they've got a while. I think Atlanta's maybe not for 3 or 4 weeks, something like that.
Yeah, they've got some time for Atlanta. The GR Corolla was there, which is cool, but someone was running a Ferrari, but the cooler car, did you see the Aston?
The Aston, also on road.
Hell yeah. Darren Kelly.
Where's he from? I didn't get the whole story. Okay, all right.
So he's a championship drifter from New Zealand who's been trying to come over to FD for a few years, and then COVID kind of pushed it all back. But he also is a grip racer. He races GT3. So his drift cars are typically Skylines. And I think his most recent one was a R35 GTR. But on road racing, he races a GT3 Aston Martin. So he's, you know, familiar with the cars and the brand. So they found a used GT4, which is, you know, a step back in between GT3 and the road car. But it had a lot of benefits. It had been in like a light accident, so they got it used at a decent price. And then they know some of the Aston Martin shit. But it already was caged. It was, you know, it was a lot of the shit was taken out of it. So it was easier for them to go into it with that car than turn a road car into it. The hard part though was they had to, you know, build the steering kit, and then they had to change the suspension geometry. And you're doing that on an Aston Martin, not on shit that's been done before in the sport. And then on top of that, they're not running like the V8 Vantage engine. They're running the 6-liter V12, which
out of like the DB11 or whatever.
Well, no, because it's older. Yeah. Because the current V12 is a 5.2 liter. The 6-liter is older Aston Martin, like pre-Mercedes Aston Martin. Yeah.
Last Vanquish.
And it was always 5.9 liters, but they rounded it up to 6. But my Aston Martin nerdity is coming out. So on that car, it's twin supercharged, which is fucking insane. But they wanted supers over turbos, which I get because they need the instant punch. Totally get that.
Yeah.
And then they're like, it's only making 700 horse, so we're down compared to the competition. Like, okay. But what they're working on, and it didn't come in time, they have a different bottom end for that engine to swap it from 6 liters to 6.8 liters. So, you know, different crankshaft in there. And with that engine, they'll be between 850 and 1,000. And then they'll be more competitive. And that's, he's like, but it's funny. I read Kristen Lee at The Drive interviewed Darren Kelly about the car. And you should go read it because she has some really nice pictures. And there's a couple Larry Chen photos in there too. But it was interesting because he's like, you know, the body's carbon fiber. And if we know we're going to bend up the body at some point, but we're trying to like minimize the damage. We're already making molds of things because we can't just replace this like some other teams can replace shit, which is really true. But you also got to go for it, which I don't think he's not going to do.
It'll easily be the best sounding car too.
It sounds absolutely insane. I mean,
supercharger one on top of that V12, it's going to be sick. I haven't heard it, but I'm going to watch videos tonight.
Yeah. If you go on Instagram or Twitter, there's clip. People got clips of it, and it sounds fucking wicked. Actually, I think there's one in Kristen's article on The Drive of the noise, and it sounds pretty insane. But it's funny, the Aston Martin mechanical, and I think the Ferrari mechanical, you know, so the other guy's like Toyota.
How funny is it that Aston Martin and Ferrari had a disadvantage in a motorsport series? It's like
that's the truth though. A high percentage of the times where I have had ultra luxury cars and supercars, there's always something wrong. It's wild. It could be as simple as like stitches coming out of something, which is minor in the grand scheme of it, to, oh my God, this car just shut off and won't turn back on. And it's comical. It's also insane. That's why if you have the money to buy, you know, and they've come a long way. So like Bentley stuff right now is pretty damn solid and tight. But a few years ago, if you had the option to be like, oh, I could buy a Rolls or a Bentley, get an S-Class. Because it's never going to fail you. It's, you know.
Get two S-Class.
Yeah, get two S-Classes. And then like the other people, like as much as I love Range Rover, you know, if you're like, oh, I'm going to get the top spec Range Rover. Like if you really need to get places and you're going to be driven, get a Tahoe, you know, like, get a Denali. And that's the truth, but you know, they don't look as nice in other people's eyes and to be fair to Land Rover, they've come a long way. To be fair to Bentley with the, you know, the last few I've driven have been totally fine. And it's not just those two. I've had Aston Martins that have shit on me. I've had Lamborghinis do weird shit.
Yeah, so
it's all of them. It's never Mercedes. It's never Porsche. It's, you know, it's never,
it is sometimes BMW.
What's that?
I said it is sometimes BMW.
Yeah. I was just going to say, I haven't had a BMW in a while. And then it hasn't been Audi in a long time. I'll put it that way. But otherwise they've been pretty good. So that's what, that's our news portion for the night. But I want to see, cause I gave my project car updates, in the last bonus episode.
Yeah.
I want to know where you are with your cars right now.
Cool.
Well, welcome back to the Broken Podcast Hour. I'm your host.
In the lift,
I'm your host, Dipshit. And this is my co-host, Patient.
This is also the most incompetent tech support, being me.
All right. Let's roll into I, in the last mini episode, gave updates on my project cars, and we want to hear updates on your project cars. So let's run down the list. Tahoe,
I haven't seen in 2 weeks. It's all fine. I did buy a bunch of parts, headlights, front end. I think I talked about this. I've got, like, you know, two new grills, new bumper cover, all new headlights with silly fucking LED DRLs. And I, hopefully in the next week or so, I'll get around to throwing all that stuff in. But the mod or upgrade that I'm most excited about for that thing is I got a solid steering shaft to replace the rag joint, because the steering is super sloppy on those trucks, especially like on freeway speed or like under heavy braking. It's like, yeah, this, like, yeah, you know, you're all over the place trying to keep things straight. So that's, I planned on doing a rack and pinion conversion, get rid of the steering box. But, everyone points to the rag joint as the first culprit and the first point of upgrade. And it's not a very expensive part. I think it was like 50, 60 bucks. So we'll start there. And, if that works as promised, then, it'll be much more enjoyable to drive.
I think I went through two or three of those on my F100. And I had one like basically give way, held on by one bolt.
Yeah.
And I, thankfully I was close to home. Mustang, where are we at on the Mustang?
Literally nothing to report there. I did clean it. I detailed it. And I did. So that thing, it sat outside of Hoonigan for shit from November until mid-March. So got it into the shop and detailed it and literally just washed it and did black trim restore from, from Adams Polishes.
Okay.
And I just slathered that stuff on liberally. And I tagged them in the story post when I did it, and you know, it brought everything back from like faded gray to like wet black. And they commented and they told me, and I should share with all of our listeners, that that stuff is meant to be used on hard plastic, not rubber trim.
Oh, good to know.
Luckily all of my trim is hard plastic.
Okay.
And also like some of, like, I put it on like some of the belt trim, like those pieces are rubber ABS, but I also have mine coated in Placidit.
Yep.
So like if it restores the sheen and the depth of the black, like, you know, it's not doing any damage in my particular case.
Sure.
But, they said basically it's meant to be applied and then wiped off. I left it on for an extended period of time because my trim was so neglected and dry from being outside and exposed to the sun for so long. So next time I go back over there, I'll polish that thing and wipe that trim down. And then I've got to order some parts from Holly and get that thing back on the road.
It's funny you mention that, because I bought some of this stuff from Larry Casilla the other day, which is his like pro level trim coat, which he's posted about in some of his videos. And like the instructions are, it was like a lot. I was like, I just thought this was like a wipe on thing, but it's like for his like pro line. I was like, shit, I shouldn't have bought this. I can use it. I can figure out how to use it, but I just wanted like,
it's going to be a day or like a 2 day process when you were hoping it would be like 15 minutes.
Basically. Yeah. All right. Audi.
Oh boy. I can't remember if the last time we spoke, if I had that thing back, but it was a thrash to get it back from the body shop. Still, there's a few parts that are back ordered, so the car's not complete. It's got a mismatched rear view mirror, for example. The rear view mirror in the car was a used piece that I'm sure got out of a junkyard. And he told me that it's because the black rearview mirror with all of the sensors and everything that I need is back ordered in Europe. It's on order, but who knows when that stuff will come in, along with some interior trim pieces that were scratched by the broken glass and, you know, whoever stomping around inside the car.
Right.
So there's a few things that are not to my liking, to my satisfaction. I honestly expected it would be way worse. I expected creaks and rattles all over the place and just like noises that would just drive me crazy, but honestly it's been free of that, knock on wood.
That's good.
It's just those back order parts, like, you know, really drive me crazy because they're scratched, they're imperfect when everything else is seemingly perfect. I managed to, because I took it to this first ad, I was planning on racing it, and I can't tell you whether or not that happened, but I basically hit up the guys at APR for their ECU and TCU tunes.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And I got the car back on Friday, and I had to leave for this versus that, Northern California. It's like a five-hour drive, like 3.5 to 5-hour drive, depending on traffic. I had to leave that afternoon, Monday afternoon. So basically, I had half a day to get the tunes installed. And also, I wanted to crank down my lowering links because the car used to be on really tall 21-inch wheels and tires. And I went down to a smaller 20-inch wheel and tire setup. So there was more of a gap than I liked. So I wanted to crank the lowering links down. And I also bought from a coworker a Forge Motorsport carbon air intake for the car.
Okay.
Came off of his car that that was unfortunately wrecked and totaled. He was fine, thank God, but he took the intake off and sold it to me at a hell of a deal. So I picked that up, and I took everything to Ben's Works in Huntington Beach, who's kind of like a partner of ours at Wheel Pros. Serge and his team over there, they do a lot of work for us and just like tuning our cars, suspension, you know, performance stuff. So I took it to Serge, and he knocked it out in just a few hours. He installed the tune. He wasn't able to do the TCU tune, because he doesn't have the actual hardware that that APR requires. But he was able to install two different maps on the ECU tune, so a 91 tune and a 100 octane tune.
Wow.
I managed to find, on my way out of town, a VP Racing station that sold both 100 and 100 octane. They sold every – I think they even had C16. They had fucking everything as far as, like, race fuel goes, E85. But I bought 10 gallons of 110 because it was cheaper than 100 octane.
Really?
Yeah. So I don't know if I did any damage. Yeah, I don't know. Like, you know, maybe some chemists out there listening can tell us maybe I was doing damage to my car by running a higher octane. I seriously doubt it. But anyway, just being frugal and spending, you know, I'd rather spend $93 for 5 gallons as opposed to 110.
Sure.
I think it was for the 100 octane. So I bought, yeah, 2 5-gallon jugs of 110 octane and transported them in the car all the way to San Luis Obispo, like 200 something miles or whatever it is. And like, I posted a picture of it, and a bunch of people were just like, really? In the car with you? And I'm like, well, I don't have a trunk. You know,
right.
Audi S7 is a sportback, so it's basically a hatchback.
Like, right.
You know, my gas tank's back there anyway. Like, if I have an accident that like somehow punctures these two tanks, but not the actual gas tank, then I don't know. That's like a freak occurrence. So anyway, got there, installed the tune, felt the difference immediately when I pulled away from Ben's Works. Yeah, it was just like part throttle was just like, there used to be a lag, and like, you know, the car is torquey, but it used to like you really had to get the revs up to get into boost.
Sure.
And to feel that surge of power. Now it takes, you know, quarter throttle as opposed to 3/4 throttle.
Wow.
To really feel that like that surge. And I'll admit, like, I wasn't that impressed like in my drive, but I was kind of taking it easy too because the car was loaded with stuff and I didn't want to tear anything up, you know, on the way up there. So
right.
I didn't really get into it. Plus it was nightfall, so I was just taking it easy. But
yeah.
Then I ran that tank dry, the 91 tank, and switched to the 100 octane tune. And it's super easy. You do it through like the cruise control stalk. But
oh, that's cool.
Yeah, I didn't have it figured out the first day, but then the second. So I made a couple passes up and down the strip, and I thought I was on the 100 octane tune, and I really wasn't that impressed. I was just like, well, I mean, it's faster, but like,
yeah,
you know, like, full disclosure, I did not pay for my tune. Many thanks to APR for sponsoring that. But I figured out the next day that I did not have it mapped to the 100 octane tune. So
yeah.
Once I switched to that, it was mind blowing. Like, I
fell
in love with this car all over again. It was like, holy shit, what is this? It felt like a 911 turbo. Like,
wow.
It like scratches for traction. And I have Pilot Sport Cup 2s on the car. And they're 265 at all four corners. So, I mean, I've had wider tires on those cars, but I've never had it step so far sideways.
Really?
And it's, you know, it's a semi-prep surface. You know, there's plenty of rubber down and, you know, it's asphalt. But, like, the first couple launches I did with the 91 tune, like, it was like, oh, okay, that's quicker. Like, for sure that's quicker. But there was, like, no drama. When I switched to the 100 octane tune, it was just like, oh, shit, I got to drive this thing. Like, I was like,
wow.
through like the 1,000 foot, like I was steering that thing and keeping it straight because there was so much bite and pull from the front end. Like,
wow.
It just like it caught like every little groove and it felt like a rocket ship. And like, now I'm like getting used to the power delivery and like, obviously I'm back on the 91 tune, but just driving around, I'm totally thrilled with it. It's transformed the car. It feels so much lighter. It's like so much less sluggish. And I don't even have the TCU tune installed yet. So I'm super excited for that because I think that's going to make a much bigger difference in drivability and just enjoyability of the car, because my number one complaint about that car is the 7-speed DCT is really herky jerky.
Okay.
At anything other than like full acceleration, like it just like, especially like when you're coming to a stop and it downshifts like second to first, or like you're just like kind of cruising in like light traffic, you know, anywhere from like 0 to 35 miles an hour, like residential speeds, it's like it's not smooth at all. And like I've definitely had to adapt my driving style to that car and like basically accommodate its weirdness and its herky jerkiness. But it'll be nice to experience it without all of that, because it sounds like APR programs out all of that like kind of hesitance and waffling.
Nice. That's awesome. That is very that's exciting to hear, you know, that
totally, man. I'm finally getting to enjoy this car. That's like it's a long time coming, just in time for my birthday, I might add. So I'm enjoying every minute of it.
Good. That's a good transition from there, a happy subject to questions. And we only have one on Twitter, so I'll do that one first, and it's literally directed at Montero shit. Victor Troya at VicTroya21. Have you ever driven or know anyone with a Montero Sport with the rear diff locker? I'm curious as to how many are out there and how they compare to comparable third gen 4Runners. So I know people do the rear lockers. And as soon as he posted that question, I started shopping for rear lockers. I was like, oh shit, do I need a rear locker? And I was kind of thinking that I do. Are you still there?
I'm here.
Oh shit. Okay, because your picture's frozen. So I was just making sure.
Yeah, no, I'm here.
So, all right, that's fine. If the picture's frozen, I know it's saving on your end.
I'm listening and learning.
I was gonna say I'm asking that for people paying attention because we just had a fucking technical issue. So, and your picture's back now. I was like, oh, fuck, did it freeze again? As I'm on my Montero talk.
I've stopped freaking out when it freezes.
Yeah. No. Right. Yeah. Don't ignore the video portion. Right. So I've never driven one with the rear locker. I was looking at prices to do it on my truck now because I'm an idiot.
But he asked about a Montero Sport.
Yes. So different, but
are parts interchangeable? Or are they?
Oh, it's a different part. But people do make it for it. I have seen Montero Sports with rear diff lockers. I mean, and anytime you're
locking an aftermarket piece, or is it a factory option?
Oh, okay. Yeah. For the regular Montero, as far as I know on the Montero Sport, I don't think there was an available rear diff lock. I don't think so. But on the Monteros, yes, you could get rear diff lockers. And it's supposed to transform the truck. So I haven't driven it, but I would love to throw one in mine because it would be sweet. And they make, you don't just have to get air lockers. There's e-lockers. So it's just a switch in the cabin. It's all electronic with electromagnets, which would be really fun to do. So
I love that the sport version of SUVs mean lighter duty.
Yeah, on the Montero, it's like
Montero Sport, Bronco Sport,
But when the Montero Sport was out, I think it was still built on a tougher chassis. Like, I don't think it was like a crossover chassis. I think it's still an SUV chassis. I just think it's not as burly as the Montero is, I think.
Right.
Could be wrong. All right, Instagram. Taylor356 asks, favorite Hawaiian beer? Obviously a good timely question. I'm not in love with I think I could be wrong on this. Kona Brewing, I think, is actually owned. I think they brew their shit in the mainland and then they have places in Hawaii. Maui Brewing brews their shit in Hawaii. But then gets distribution in the mainland. So I had one from, I just typed it up. It's Kahola Brewery, which is located in Lahaina. And I had their Talk Story Pale Ale. I was drinking that a little bit when I was in Hawaii. That was pretty good. I like that. I'm not in love with the beers from Maui Brewing. I even went to Maui Brewing one night. I went to their Lahaina, what they call it Lahaina, but it's like north of Kanapali. It was fine. Like the beers are fine. I just don't think there's anything at some of their more fun ones are when they do like a coconut porter. That's a very tasty beer. That's actually a really good one. There's a pineapple wheat, I think, too. That's really good. But in terms of like IPAs and pale ales and like, meh. So
yep.
Do you have a favorite Hawaiian beer?
I do not. I trust your judgment on
okay.
this.
That's why I didn't want to be rude to not ask you, but I already knew the answer.
Last time I went to Hawaii, I was 10 years old. I may have had a sip of my grandfather's beer, but that was definitely not a beer taster or connoisseur.
Sure. Not a 10. No. And I never went to Hawaii as a kid, so I missed out on that. So I've only been as an adult.
Twice in 1 week.
Well, I'm making up for it, dude. Our buddy Leo, CNC Picks, who you should all follow on Instagram. If NASCAR, this is a good question. If NASCAR were to run a street course, which city should it be in? LBC, Miami, Vegas, or ?
I mean, selfishly, I'm always going to say Long Beach.
Right.
I mean,
me too.
I don't know.
I don't think the sports cars do it.
Yeah. I think, I don't know. I mean, they have road course setups, and now the next gen car, I think it's a lot more agile and capable than the older cars. So, what were his suggestions here? Vegas,
said, LBC, Miami, Vegas, or ? Not Miami.
Miami, they already have Homestead.
That's an F1 crowd.
I don't think they'll. It's too. That would be. Oh, yeah, I agree with you. Vegas would be interesting, but.
I could see Vegas because you could like the city. It's not like the city knows that when they have to shut down the streets, like it's not like shutting down streets in a place where people obviously totally. People live and work in Vegas, but they know right. There's something going on. So they're used to right. it. Whereas like right. if you shut down streets in fucking like Miami or so-and-so, yeah. like obviously they're used to shutting down Long Beach for various things, but Vegas yeah. you know, you could use the full width of the strip for part of it and then circle sure. around through the side streets, get them up onto the freeway. I don't even fucking know.
Sure.
So Vegas is a decent
logistically.
Answer.
I think that makes the most sense. Mm-hmm. And obviously it's easier to bring a crowd to Vegas than pretty much any other city in America.
Yeah.
It's a host city. So, I mean, I think that would make the most sense, even if that's not the place that I would love to see them race at, but right. I think Nashville last year.
Did they?
Yeah. And I think it was their first time there, and it was a super tight track. There was like a lot of wrecks on restarts, and for New York.
They have a couple road courses because they also do St. Petersburg. Yeah.
Right.
They also do St. Petersburg, Florida. And then
I'm just saying, I think this would be great. That particular track would be great for Nashville. They like go over a really narrow bridge.
Oh, yeah.
It, like it tightens into like these crazy, like super tight turns, and like there's a lot of like bunch ups and wrecks, and there were accidents that basically, you know, took IndyCar open wheel cars out of contention, but you know, NASCAR, you could see them beating each other into submission through those corners and still surviving and continuing on. You might get a tire rub or something like that, but like yeah. it wouldn't be the end of the race for like 5-6 cars at a time like it was for IndyCar.
You make a good point, because my initial reaction is like, oh no, those two cars are too big, they need too much room, they can't do it. But then what I've always said about NASCAR, because I'm not like some huge NASCAR fan, I always thought that Australian V8 supercars was the superior racing series, but they're banging, sure. you know, they're doing that stuff. And those cars are probably pretty similar in size. So there's no reason that we couldn't do like Long Beach would be interesting. Long Beach would be interesting just because it has the history of, you know, they've done open wheel races there. I mean, they still do open wheel races there. They used to have crazier layouts. And since we're getting rid of Fontana, right, for NASCAR, I think.
I've heard that. I'm not sure. It would make sense. The track is old.
Right.
Like, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if they want to invest any more resources in that, but it would make sense that they move on from that.
So if they ditch Fontana and switch it to Long Beach, that could be pretty sweet. So I'm going to go, I think Vegas or Long Beach are two really good answers. Your answer is a really good answer. And then if they could, cause also IndyCar, didn't they run Belle Isle? Like But that's I think that's a really tight circuit too. Belle Isle Grand Prix in Michigan. So maybe that's on the list as well. Yeah, I think that's where we are.
Not too many people remember or even knew that there was a NASCAR street race in LA back in 98 and 99. But literally the week that I moved to Los Angeles for school at USC, the very first weekend, I was awoken to, like, we saw barriers going up and I had no idea what was going on. But like 8 o'clock Saturday morning, I woke up to
sweet race riots,
Trans Am. Like screaming, howling V8s and six cylinders. I was just like, I was in heaven. Everybody else hated it. I lived in what was called Parkside, which was like the most antiquated dorm complex at USC. And it was in the southwest corner of campus. And it was literally at the end of the straight for this race. It was a street race that was like NASCAR West. Like it wasn't, you know, it wasn't the,
oh, it wasn't Cup Series.
It wasn't Cup Series, but it was like a regional series. But they also had like Trans Am cars, sports cars, some like like Indy Lights.
Right.
It was sick. It was fucking amazing. And like I would go up on the roof and watch like all weekend. So they did that 2 years. They did that in 98, 99. And it was like all around the Coliseum and shit. So that in like the middle of downtown LA. And I don't know if people complain or if it just wasn't a draw like Long Beach. I don't know if it was just a bust, but
yeah,
it wasn't, you know, it wasn't IndyCar. It wasn't F1. It wasn't like, you know, Cup Series. So it definitely didn't have the draw, but it was pretty amazing to see those cars ripping up downtown LA. Like that like cool. My welcome to Los Angeles. And I was like, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
This is the right place for me.
No, that's cool. I totally get that. That is cool. I can appreciate that for sure. That dude, Pasha, just writes, get rid of the Jag. Cause I think in the last podcast I mentioned the cooling fan stopped working again, which sucks. Ugh. Electrical issues on a Jag, who would have thunk it, even though it's not fucking Jag parts. And I just had that fixed. And I did say, like, if someone made me an offer, I'd sell it tomorrow. Cause I have no, you know, I don't have an emotional attachment to this car at all. The car is cool. It's a good cruiser. I think it actually looks pretty dope, but I'd love to drop it an inch even and fucking just, but I don't care. I would sell it tomorrow. D_wrench. What year is peak car? So I thought what year is peak car? So I thought about this question a bit, so I'm cheating. And initially my mind wants to say, you know, 68, 69, 70, but I really think the real answer is kind of like right now.
Today.
Because we're in a transitory period, transition period where good EVs are just starting to come out and gas cars are making their like last gasps. I'm not saying they're going away tomorrow, but they're making their, like, you know, Chrysler Stellantis, whatever the fuck you want to call them, is like, hey, see that sedan? Makes 800 horsepower and you can buy it, and it's well under $100,000.
Yep.
It goes 202 miles an hour.
Yep.
Yep. Says Dodge on the back. Don't worry about it. Just like, that's fucking crazier than any muscle car that ever came before. The fact that, like, the, you can take the Superbird, the Daytona wing cars, you can take the Boss 429 Mustang, you can take, go up later, GNX, go to literally anything. The 797 horsepower, you know, red eyes.
Hold on.
Well, I'm not saying I would pick one.
Hold
over.
Hold on. No, I agree with you. 100%.
Okay.
But I would, what's even crazier is that you don't even have to look at a Charger or Challenger for like the ultimate performance. A fucking T-Rex, a fucking 700 horsepower truck would probably outperform a 69 Daytona in like 100 laps at Daytona right now.
Yeah. Like they would consume the same amount of fuel, like it, but you'd be more comfortable. 100%. On the same page.
A fucking four-door truck, a four-door off-road truck would outperform literally every single thing that Detroit made.
You know,
up until the 90s.
You know how there's those channels that like they can enter data into a computer, and there's usually like a game involved where they enter. It's like, what if 100 fucking dinosaurs fought the Roman centurion? You know, like those. Have you ever seen those videos? You know what I'm talking about? So, like, I wish there was a car version of that where it was like, what if one TRX took on the 1969 NASCAR field? And it was like, oh yeah, the TRX is fine. Cause like they bumped into its tires, but it has 35. So they, like, it didn't even feel the sheet metal of the thin sheet metal of the fucking
chewed up Richard Petty's car and spit him over the wall.
The dude is inside drinking, literally drinking like bourbon and winning.
Smoking cigarettes.
Yeah, 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 exactly. No, because he'd be pissed. He'd be like, there's no ashtray. Like, where the fuck's the ashtray?
Oh, that's true.
Just ash on the floor. But that would be, if any of you out there have the skills, the computer skills, and if you do, then you know what I'm talking about, where it's like, what if, and there are these oddly enticing videos where it's like, what if 100 Navy SEALs took on Genghis Khan? And you're like, I'm definitely going to watch this. I want to see how this shit plays out. So I want to see what if, you know, the like Bobby Allison had to go up against fucking Cletus McFarland in a red TRX. I'm not saying, you know, driver mod is obviously Bobby Allison, you know, legendary driver, but Cletus McFarland is going to be more comfortable in the Ram TRX.
Probably.
And he probably doesn't even need a roll cage because he's got airbags and seat belts and fucking, you know. That's a really good. Next time I'm just going to have you ask the podcast question. Though, D-Wrench, you did stir this question. So what I was going to say,
brilliant question, but it's an obvious answer.
My heart says, you know, 68, 69, 70, you know, give me that shit. The answer is today. I would love to have in my driveway V8 Defender 110 next to an electric Porsche wagon. Like,
it's the dream. Clearly, I'm a huge fan of the 90s. Like, you know, I could, if you asked me to build a 10 car, you know, dream garage from every decade, like, I would put my 90s garage up against my whatever 2020 garage.
Right.
But that's just nostalgia and,
sure,
you know, enthusiasm for the idiosyncrasies and the familiarity of that era. But you know, there's nothing compares to modern cars. Like, we haven't seen anything like this.
I know
I got Sinead's haircut, but I'm not gonna try and sing like
this. Maybe you also stop listening to the Pope. all right. So today's peak car right now, and it's not getting. The other day I was going to dinner and I saw a Lucid parked, and I took a picture of it. I don't normally take pictures of like a lot of cars,
new cars. So
But I'm like, that thing has, you know, 1,000 horsepower and go 400 miles on it. Like, that's fucking insane.
And if you can peek into it with the door open, like that glass roof, like, you know, I know the Model X or whatever has like the extended, you know, windshield, but like that thing, the glass goes back. Like, it's super sick.
Nice. My buddy, this is from Real Cool Phillips, my roommate in college. How many beers can you drink before having to piss at 41? One. No, tonight it's two. I don't know. I need to go check my prostate because it feels like it's getting less and less all the time.
Man, we keep talking about it.
Can help somebody doctors?
Somebody sponsor us. Just
Honestly, send us
to a doctor.
I don't want a. And I told Jen in Hawaii, I was like, "Yo, when we get back," I didn't say "yo." I was like, "Yo, bitch, listen up." 1,000% did not say that. I said, I'm going to go see a doctor for, there's like a handful of things I want to get checked out. I haven't had a physical in 20 years.
Oh my God. All right. You got maybe, it's been maybe 8 or 10 for me.
I'm guessing 20. It actually,
you're more active than I am. So
it's probably 20. Yeah. But like, we ride with I ride mountain bikes with a guy who just had a pretty bad crash the other day and is getting neck surgery. Like, he's not paralyzed, but he needs neck surgery. I'm like, I need a doctor just in case shit goes south. So that my doctor be like, oh no, don't take him to there. He's my best patient. He needs to go over there. Yeah. So if WebMD, actually, no, I don't want WebMD to sponsor this.
No, that is nightmare fuel. Yeah.
I'm like, oh, you know, I feel a little like tingle right here. They're like, oh, you're definitely dying of a heart attack and ass cancer. It's like, shit.
Ass cancer.
Yeah, that's always going to be the ass cancer. All right. There's more questions. Phillips, yes, I have to piss all the fucking time. Daniel Robert DeRue. This is a good question. What should Toyota GR next? And then he wrote, JV with Lotus to bring back the MR2 on a mirror platform. Oh, joint venture with Lotus to bring back the MR2 on the mirror platform. No, that's not going to happen. I mean, I like where your head's at, but no. What should Toyota GR next? I would personally love to see Actually, what I said was, I did an article on Hooniverse where I said the engine is fascinating, and I know Toyota doesn't do crate engines, but that would be a fucking wicked crate engine.
The three-cylinder?
Yes. Three-cylinder turbo, 300 horsepower. Okay. Because you stuff that in the nose of a lot of like small old things that had no power. Sure. It takes up no room. It's a Toyota. It can run forever. And I want to see someone put it in the nose. Like if, because Toyota needs to do a next gen Tacoma. Stop yawning. Toyota needs to do a next gen Tacoma. And I want to see this engine as an option in the Tacoma, because it would be fucking awesome in the nose of that truck.
The three cylinder.
Yes. Yes. 300 horsepower. I don't care about the cylinder count.
I know it's 300 horsepower, but like, where is that 300 horsepower and 273 pounds feet available?
Fucking so the horsepower, is up high, but the torque is 3000 to 5000. So it's not, at the bottom, but it's not at the top either.
Okay. That's surprising. Yeah. While we're on the subject of Toyotas, if we're talking about retrofitting that motor, I'd love to see it in an original MR2 or an MR Spider. Like, I think that would be a riot.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd also like to, there's a bunch of shit that Toyota could,
answering that question.
So what should they GR next? Cause like, you don't want to do a Venza. A Camry would be cheesy unless they had a fucking V8, you know, to go full NASCAR spec, which they would never do. They would never.
Why not the supermotor in a all-wheel drive Camry? Like, I don't know if that's physically possible, but you know, or a twin turbo V6, like.
Yeah, I mean, you could GR a Camry, but is that just
I'm not excited for it. I'm just
right.
I can't think of anything else. Like, honestly, what else is
if they didn't all wheel drive it, if they rear wheel drived it, I'd be interested. You would have my attention.
But it's like, you know, they built that that funny car Camry a few years ago. Did you see that?
Yes.
It was like a literal flip top body.
Yeah.
On top of a drag race chassis, and that made no sense whatsoever. And I didn't even think it was cool. It was just like, what's the point of this? Like,
are they still in NASCAR?
They're in NASCAR with the Supra, and they're also in NHRA with the Supra. So it was like, you know, the whole purpose was trying to like make that connection between, because the NHRA funny cars, the Toyota funny cars, were Camry body back then, up until last year. So that was like, they were trying to make that connection, but it was a stock Camry body.
Right.
Replica, basically, like a fiberglass or a carbon replica body.
Yeah.
Like literally hinged from the back, like a funny car.
Yeah.
And it was like, sorry, but like, that's not even cool. Like,
but there was the reason I brought up NASCAR, because there was a point where there is sedans running. There were a couple sedans running.
Right.
Then everybody switched
to the Camry.
Everybody switched to coupes. Which
they switched to quote coupes. They're pretty much the same shape with Supra and Camaro and Mustang headlights.
Sure.
The new car, the next gen car is definitely more coupe like in silhouette, but it's still kind of generic, just really two door sedan ish.
Yeah. Right. Yeah,
I don't have an answer for this question.
I don't have a good answer, because I think they've kind of hit all the points in the lineup where it makes sense. Like a GR fucking Sienna doesn't make sense. As you know, I'm all for fun, stupid things. Like, I'm totally down. But Toyota is very practical, and it's amazing that we have a GR Corolla.
Right. So along those lines, did you see that our buddy, I always butcher this, but Abimelech.
Oh,
design and Tavarish are actually building the Hellcat powered Chrysler Pacifica.
Yes.
I can't think of a cooler thing on the planet. There's not a vehicle that I want more, and I have absolutely no use for it, but I just think it's the coolest shit that anybody could ever build.
1000% totally agree with you, especially because I've always wanted a Mercedes R63 and in spirit, this is that, but even better.
Yeah.
Yes, I've always wanted an R63 just because I love the sleeper.
I love those in concept, but they like, I didn't like, they don't have the sliding doors. Like, it's
right.
Minivan
it's
not shape, a true but not minivan. A minivan.
Yeah, right. No, I get it. I get that. But the idea of like a minivan looking Mercedes with that 500 something horsepower engine, I've always wanted. And there's not a lot of them too, which is kind of cool too. Like, on proper wheels. And yeah. So, yes, what Tavarish, Freddie, we should get Freddie on this podcast. What Freddie's doing is we should get Abel Mac on this podcast too, actually. Mm-hmm. He'd probably get a big kick out of that. Because he's always like, so he's like, oh man, thank you for sharing my thing. I'm like, dude, what are you talking about? Yeah. You're amazing. Like, the fuck are you talking about?
He's the homie. I love him because he is so humble and like we've worked on a couple projects together, and he's always like running things by me or giving me sneak peeks into what he's doing. And like, I really appreciate that.
Is he young?
Yeah, I think he's like 25-ish.
Yeah. Cause like my advice for him would be to like, whatever you're charging people, start charging more.
Triple it.
Yes.
Triple it.
Yeah. Cause I guarantee, cause you're young, you're probably like, oh, I'm so happy to be working. And I'm guessing. I don't know.
Triple it for everybody but me.
Also, you're very nice. I'm leaning on that, where that's what I tell a lot of people in this position. Like, if you're really good and people want you, like they're coming for you, fucking raise those rates, man.
Yeah.
Raise those rates. Totally. Absolutely.
Because it's not just the skills of like actual creating. It's, for guys like him and the Kaiza, it's like the concept, like the craziness of the concept is what other people don't have. Like, they can see something through and make it, a digital reality, but just having the concept that's cool is 80% of the work, because you can make some bastardized wide body this or that, but like, if it doesn't have a cool concept or explanation or what if story behind it, like it's silly. But those guys are masters of their craft, and they are, they're artists of a new generation. Like, they are the next Chip Fu, Steve Stanford, Tom Taylor. Yeah. Like, they're the next generation of those like prolific artists.
Absolutely. Totally agree. 100%. I think that was actually the last question too, so that's perfect. So this is the second episode of the week, because it's the short episode was an apology episode.
Apologies, man.
I always feel bad.
Consolation, not apology.
Yeah.
You don't want anybody an apology.
Go on, apologize. Have you ever seen that episode of South Park?
I don't remember.
Oh, I'll tell off camera. I'll say it. It's fucking amazing. It's when Randy says the N-word on Wheel of Fortune. hold on. And I'm just going to say it here. And then was it Reggie Jackson? No, not Reggie Jackson.
Talking about it's a no for me, dog. That dude.
No. Who was it? It wasn't Sharpton.
Isaac Hayes?
No. It was Jesse Jackson. Fuck.
Oh, okay.
Jesse Jackson goes, all right, I need you to apologize. And Randy's like, yeah, of course, whatever you want me to do. And he pulls down his pants and like puts his ass near him. He's like, all right, go ahead, kiss it. Apologize. It's fucking amazing. Go on. Apologize. And every now and then I'll just be like, all right, apologize. And I do. Fucking absolutely amazing. So good. All right. What a weird way to end the episode. So I'm recording,
weird, bro.
I'm recording with Zach Clapp tomorrow to run next week while I am.
So Zach, I said, what's up? I wish I could join you guys.
I'll be spending time with my Ohana, which is family in Hawaiian.
Yes. hey, Vin, I don't even know how to make Vin Diesel Hawaiian, but.
No. I was going to say, next week, hopefully you can find time to record with Mr. Anthony Day for a future episode. I'm riding mountain bikes with him tomorrow. So that should be good.
Oh, thanks for the invite on my birthday.
Oh, shut up.
You're getting together.
Your birthday's tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Well, dude, do you want to go mountain bike riding?
No, absolutely not. Right. But thanks for making plans on my birthday. That's what I'm saying.
Our plans start at 8 a.m. Are you going to be up?
Yeah, I'm going to work tomorrow.
Okay. It is true.
I'm going to work tomorrow, so I don't have to go on Friday. I'll ask you.
Yeah. All right. So follow 777 Style on Instagram. Follow me, Hooniverse Jeff, on Instagram and Twitter. Like and subscribe to the podcast. I mentioned t-shirt ideas in the last episode. I still haven't reached out to Blip Shift, but I'm going to run them. I'm going to run them by Mr. Ron Box. I haven't told him yet either. But I think it's a good idea. And then we will see you on the next one. Yeah. Thanks for listening.
2 and 2.
2 and 2. Oh boy. I can't remember the last time we spoke. I can't remember if I had the, oh shit. Are you there? No.
What happened?